Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of In Accord. After being absent from the office for almost 3 months, recovering from my heart surgery, I've been back at work for 2 weeks now. And now, I am sure that like all of you, my wife and I are finalizing our plans for the Feast of Tabernacles. On October 1st, we will fly to Fort Myers, Florida, where we'll keep the Day of Atonement with the brethren in that area. Then on Friday, October 3rd, we'll drive to St. Petersburg to observe the Sabbath on October the 4th there with the brethren. And then on Sunday, October 5th, we'll return to Fort Myers to begin the feast on Monday evening, October the 6th. And then during the feast, on Wednesday, October the 8th, we'll travel back to Dallas and then on to Myrtle Beach. While making our travel plans, we discovered there's no direct flight from Fort Myers to Myrtle Beach. You must either connect through Charlotte or Dallas. So we chose Dallas. Now this will be our final In Accord before the Feast of Tabernacles. The next program will not be posted until Thursday evening, October 23rd, about a month from now. But before moving on to today's topics, I'd like to give you an update on my health. While I've shared several details in member letters, I thought it would be helpful to share the full story here with all of you. Back in 2012, doing a routine physical examination, my doctor detected a heart murmur and referred me to a cardiologist. Tests revealed that I had a bicuspid aortic valve, meaning the valve had only two leaflets instead of the usual three. This condition affects only about 1 to 2% of people. At the time, it wasn't a concern, though my doctor advised periodic monitoring of this situation. I kept up with those checkups until 2024, when doctors noticed a narrowing of the valve caused by calcium deposits. By early this year, the narrowing had reached a critical stage, and valve replacement was recommended. Initially, doctors suggested a less invasive procedure, which had been approved in 2015, where a new valve is inserted inside the old one through a main artery. Recovery from that procedure usually takes only a day or two. I was hopeful this would work for me. However, during a consultation on June the 27th, the surgeon explained that my condition made me ineligible for that approach and said I would need open heart surgery to replace the valve. Because I was otherwise in excellent health, the surgeon was confident in a successful outcome. So on July 1st, I underwent surgery. More than 8 hours later, I woke up in my room. But I was pain-free, which was a very good thing. And in fact, I have not experienced pain at any point in this entire process. The surgery was successful, and I was told I would need about 12 weeks of recovery and rehabilitation. On September the 5th, I completed my rehab program and was cleared to return to work. The surgeon assured me that my heart would now function better than ever. Better than ever, he said. I returned to work on September 9th and have been back to full days since then. God has been very merciful to me, and I truly believe he intervened on my behalf. Now, I want to thank all of you for your prayers, your cards, your emails, your texts, your phone calls, over 1,000 in total. Your support meant a great deal during my recovery. Looking back, the surgery seems like a dream, something that never really happened. The operation itself was the easy part. Recovery was longer and sometimes tedious, but I made it through to this point. I feel stronger each day, and like all of you, my focus is now on the holy days that are coming up. 2 days ago, we celebrated the Feast of Trumpets, and next Thursday, we will observe the Day of Atonement before we all gather at our respective feast sites to begin the Feast of Tabernacles. I encourage everyone to take time to reflect on the scriptures related to these days. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. You know, some claim these festivals were abolished under the new covenant. But Scripture provides no such evidence. On the contrary, the New Testament affirms their continued observance. Christ did not change them. And even at the conclusion of the New Testament, they remain in effect just as they were in the Old Testament. So we stand on firm ground in observing God's seven annual festivals. Within a month, we will have completed another full cycle. Keeping the holy days is both exciting and deeply meaningful. So I want to wish all of you a joyous and spiritually uplifting festival season. Finally, I want to share some exciting news with all of you. On Thursday, September the 25th, we held the groundbreaking ceremony for our new education center here in McKinney. After completing our office building in 2019, we began planning the second phase of construction, an auditorium and education center for the church. Here is some video from the ceremony that I would like to share with all of you. I want to begin by welcoming all of you to this very special ceremony. You know, getting to this date has been a real test of patience, to say the least, but we have made it. We are here now. It was more than 3 years ago in the spring of 2022 that we engaged Alliance Architects to design our second building, an auditorium and education center for the Church of God. Alliance designed our office building back in 2017. So our relationship with Alliance goes back more than 8 years. We broke ground on our office on January the 16th, 2018, and we moved into the building in March of 2019, more than 6 years ago now. In 2017, we entered into a contract with Highland Builders for our office building. Although we're using the same architectural firm for this second building, or phase two as we've called it, we are using a different builder. We interviewed five builders, including Highland, and finally settled on Michael Walker's Construction Company as our builder. Now, to begin with this afternoon, I want to introduce the individuals that are most instrumental in designing and building this building. So let me begin with Alliance Architects. We have Scott Meyer as the principal partner who's responsible for this project. Scott was also the primary on our first building. Rhiannon Boland, who has been involved in much of the interior design, working with Nancy Dubik. We have Zach Weldy, who has worked on both projects. Zach is the Associate Director of Design. We have Scott Frankowiak, who has been very much involved in our phase two. And then we have Michael Walker, who are represented here this afternoon as well. Josh Kubala, president and owner of Michael Walker. Katie Hambrick, Vice President of Estimating. Steve Hutchinson, Chief Strategy Officer. And Kelly Bradbury, Senior Superintendent. We've also known Kelly since 2017, and he hasn't gotten any better than when we first met him. But that's almost 8 years now as well. I want to thank them for the creation of an excellent work environment. Both entities have been extremely easy to work with. This is our second building. And if we learned anything from our first building, we learned the importance of good relationships and the contribution of professionals who could guide us through what turns out to be a year-long experience. Now, I told myself after the first building that I was done. I would never do this again. The last 4 years have changed my mind. We have been greatly blessed to the point that all the pieces came together to build an auditorium, which also will serve as an education center for the worldwide work of the church. And we're able to do this without impacting our expanding work of the church. We have almost 300 congregations in 40 countries around the world, and the need for biblical and spiritual education has never been greater than today, given the world in which we live. Incredible doors have opened for the church during the past few years. Doors that could not have been imagined prior to today have opened for us. We begin this project with a great deal of confidence that we're doing the right thing for the future of the church. It is our belief that this is itself an open door that we are more than prepared to walk through. But we take nothing for granted and depend on God to see us through and show us His will. Our journey as an organization began in December of 2010, after more than 2 years of turmoil in our previous association. As an organization, we began officially on December 23rd, 2010. We had no employees and no property when we began. Since we were new, we had no references, no financial references, in order to even rent an office. And we were turned down by numerous owners of buildings and did not want to rent to us because we couldn't produce 5 years of financials. So for the first year, 2011, we all worked from our homes. And then we moved into a suite of offices in Allen in 2012. And then we moved into our office building here in March of 2019, a full 7 years later. Now here we are today, 15 years since our very humble beginning in 2010, breaking ground on a new building. In 2017, we purchased 7.4 acres of land, and it was our intent from the beginning to one day use all the land to serve the church. Our immediate need was for an office from which to do our work and to teach our students at Foundation Institute. We needed a studio to make recordings and to further our preaching of the gospel. This was accomplished with our first building, but we were still missing something. This mission not only to preach the gospel to a world in distress, but to educate our ministry, our membership, and the world at large. We needed a facility that would serve as a center for education. Today we're here to break ground on this second building, which will serve this important function. Our education programs were being crowded out by our media productions shortly after we opened the new building, or the new office. In the years of our existence, we had developed education programs for the ministry, for the members, and for the youth. Our plan was to consolidate our education programs into one structure, a structure that could accommodate all sizes for educational purposes, from a dozen to 400 or 500 people. And we desired a central location for Sabbath services and Holy Day services, which could seat 500 and would accommodate this particular area. And in addition to accommodating our educational programs, it would also free up space in the office for an expanding media department and for much needed storage. The new building will actually make possible a number of things that we only thought about a few years ago. Sabbath services and Holy Day services, potential special combined services, youth education programs, young adult education programs, adult education programs, ministerial education programs, and Foundation Institute classes and social programs. In this building, we will increase our potential for preaching the gospel and caring for the brethren. In Psalm 127, verse 1, we have our marching orders when it comes to God's involvement. The verse reads very simply, "Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." It is our desire to never get ahead of God. We look for His guidance and His hand in everything we do. This building is no exception. In the book of Zechariah, especially chapter 4, we read about the construction of the second temple. Remember that Solomon's temple, which could be described as the most fabulous building ever constructed, was completed in the 10th century B.C. The gold alone in that building was estimated to be 75,000 pounds. That temple was destroyed in 585 B.C. by the Babylonian army. And it wasn't rebuilt until 515 B.C. during the time of Zerubbabel, the high priest. This building, the second building, was much less impressive than Solomon's temple, which was incredibly magnificent. Those who had seen the original temple wept because they were so sad to see such an inferior building. Zechariah reprimanded them for their attitude. How could you consider anything that God was involved with as being small or inferior? In verse 10 of Zechariah 4, "For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout this whole earth." With God's involvement, there is no such thing as a small thing. We're praying for God's blessing on this project, that it will be a tool for doing His work around the world. So if everybody could come around here and kind of line up here in front of the backhoe, and then we're going to dig a little dirt, and then after that, we're going to go inside and celebrate a very, very wonderful day. Groundbreaking was followed by reception in the FI break area on what turned out to be a beautiful day. After nearly 4 years of preparation, we are thrilled to begin this project. Please keep it in your prayers, asking God's blessing and guidance as we move forward. We anticipate completing the building in the summer of 2026. Well, that will do it from here for now. As I mentioned earlier, this will be the last In Accord until after the Feast of Tabernacles. Please have a wonderful Sabbath and holy days. I wish all of you a truly meaningful and enjoyable Feast of Tabernacles and last great day. This year's feast will be especially meaningful for my family and me, considering all that has happened in our lives over the past few weeks. God has been merciful to us, and I never want to take that for granted. I pray that He will extend the same comfort and mercy to each of you, especially those dealing with health challenges of your own or facing trials of a different sort. As I wrote in my recent member letter, Christ promised that He would be with us always, even to the end of the age. Till we see you again, goodbye for now.